Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0. This is our debut show on our new network, and we are extremely excited.
Yes, good morning. We would like to send a big thank you to the Left of Straight Network for becoming our new home.
If you are tuning in for the first time, let us tell you why we're here and what our goals are. Joe and I have been married for 15 years. Despite the fact that I have bipolar disorder, we've had a very happy marriage.
Yep. Through a lot of work, several doctors, many different medications, and a constantly open line of communication, we found our way through the maze of mental illness.
Joe has been by my side the entire time, supporting me when nobody else would. That is partly why we do this show. While we want to present my point of view as the person with mental illness, we also want to present the perspective of the spouse or the caregiver.
We've been approached by many people that have said they just don't know how we do it. They tell us that their relationship is in shambles because of bipolar disorder or depression, and we really want to help people with that.
In addition, we plan on bringing you guests on the show that have faced tremendous tragedy or adversity and have overcome those struggles and turned it into something positive.
We're here because we want to help people and because we hope that in some small way we're helping to silence the stigma. We're changing the discussion one voice at a time.
And let's not forget that we do like to have fun, so this show will definitely not be all doom and gloom. We hope you'll enjoy our comedic sides as well. And because this is a live show, you can expect the unexpected.
Hey, honey, should we talk a little bit more about what we've been going through the last couple of months? Or do you want to dive right into bringing our guests on?
We can talk a little bit about that. What were you thinking about talking about, babe?
Well, you know, we haven't been on the air, you know, for a little bit here, and, you know, there's been a lot of changes in our life, you know, had a lot of home renovations going on, and, you know, we were stuck living in a hotel for about a month while things happened here at the house, and it really gives you a chance to put perspective on how life is, you know, and what you go through in the day-to-day when your normal every day is disrupted that drastically. You know, we're really grateful to be back in our house.
Grateful to be back on the air.
Grateful to be back on the air. You know, that was a big thing. That was one of the reasons why we haven't been on the air, is just being in such a state of disruption. And, you know, I'm grateful that we're back in the house. I'm grateful to our contractor for doing such a great job. And I'm really excited to get 2017 off to a really good start after all the ups and downs we went through in 2016.
And we should probably also mention really briefly before we bring our guests in that we do have a new microphone. We might sound different from previous podcasts, and it's pretty much a guarantee that at some point you're going to hear a cat.
Yep. Yep, that's one other thing that we got to mention is, you know, a couple of our cats don't really make too much noise, but our baby, our oldest, Haley, will be chiming in from time to time. So she's the unofficial third leg of our show.
And, yeah.
You know, if you ever hear, just say, hey, Haley.
And incidentally, before we go further, remember, if you want to ask us any questions via Twitter, you can use hashtag VFChange. And I have Twitter up right now, so if anybody wants to shoot us any questions during the interview, we will definitely be checking it out. So that being said, let's introduce our guest for today's show. We have one lovely lady from across the pond in the UK, and another lovely lady from right here in the good US of A, good old US of A. So this is going to be fun. We're chatting with Katie and Sophie, the creators of www.mhartherapy.com, as in mentalhealthartherapy.com. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello. Thanks for having us. Yeah, we're so
Thank
excited.
You. Thank you for being here. Well, it's been kind of a long wait due to the holidays and, like I said earlier, everything we've been going through. So we appreciate the fact that you guys hung in there with us.
You're very welcome.
So before we start the interview, do you have any questions or concerns for us?
No, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, let's get talking. Just kidding.
Yeah. Okay, can each of you just take a few moments, you know, to tell us your story, your background, where you're from, you know, your diagnosis, if you have one, perhaps when you were diagnosed? Katie, would you like to start?
Yeah, sure. So I am from the Rocky Mountains in the Mountain West, and I grew up here. And I am diagnosed with bipolar 1 disorder, and I had my first manic psychotic episode at 16 years old when I went away to boarding school in Michigan, but I didn't get a diagnosis officially until like 6 years after that. Just my parents had no idea about mental illness, so they didn't know to take me into a psychiatrist mm-hmm. or anything when all the crazy happened. So that's kind of, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So I just lived with the ups and downs for 6 years. I got a degree and I got married and have an amazing supportive husband. But then like 3 or 4 years into or 4 years, 3 years into marriage, finally was like, what is this? I had my close sister who went through a manic episode, and I watched everything go down, and I was like, this is what happened to me. And she actually did. She got psychiatric support and everything. And so I was like, I must have something similar. So then I went to see a psychiatrist, got my diagnosis, and here I am.
Mm. Where were you at in Michigan? Because that's where we're from.
Oh, really? Yeah, I was at Interlochen Arts Academy. It's a boarding school for creative arts. I went there for creative writing. It's in close to Traverse City. It's in Interlochen.
Yeah, we know.
we know Interlochen.
It was a big thing. It was a big thing when we were in high school. Only the most talented kids where I went to high school got into Interlochen. So that's pretty impressive.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was fun, minus the psychosis that I was in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on. This is part of the ride.
Yeah, that'll put a little damper on things, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little, but it was a good experience for the most part.
Yeah, that's cool that you live out in the Rockies, too, because Beck and I have talked for years about retiring out west. For a long time, it was going to be Vegas, and then it's like, you know what? Vegas is a little too hot. Let's go a little bit farther north. She's still pulling for Vegas.
Yeah, it's beautiful here. The mountains, even in the wintertime, just snow on the mountains. I love my mountains, so.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Okay, Sophie, you're up next, my dear.
Yeah, hi. I'm in London, hi. UK, as you can probably tell from my accent.
Which I love.
Thank you.
I love your accent.
Thank you very much. Well, basically, what happened to me was that I was looking after my mum through a terminal illness for 2 years. She had secondary breast cancer, and she had been ill before when I was a kid. So this isn't the first time I had mental health problems. But then 6 months later, my dad nearly died as well, and a lot of other stuff. And wow. After this, I had a breakdown and got manic, basically, and started to believe strange things, thought that I could do lots of very odd things that I couldn't do, and ended up with a psychiatrist who my therapist sent me to. They had to really kind of get the doctors to, you know, agree to this. because I don't know, our system is quite different here to yours. I think you have to persuade a GP, but yeah, then I got sent straight to a psychiatrist, and that's where I'm at now.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, it's, you know, having to deal with, especially when it's your parents.
Yeah.
And they're going through stuff. It's so difficult. You know, Beck and I have been through similar things. You know, my dad had congestive heart failure in the late 90s.
Oh, gosh.
And,
yeah.
You know, so I forestalled moving out so I could help out around the house and help
yeah.
with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad was older anyway, so. And then, mm. you know, Beck went through that a few years ago with her mom, who
yeah.
had been diagnosed with lung cancer. And, you
oh,
know,
gosh,
Beck was
yeah.
over there every day, yeah, having to take care of her and stuff.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, definitely.
It's an insurmountable amount of stress to be put under, and there's nothing in this world that prepares you for having to take care of a sick parent or
no.
even worse, losing them.
Yeah, you're
you know?
Absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, it was so big, and everyone thought that I was so strong and so brave, and I was like the one dealing with everything, you know, in charge of
mm-hmm.
all the rest of the family, and so kind of, like Katie says, nobody noticed when I started going kind of, you know, mm-hmm. off track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were all kind of really surprised.
They think you're normal,
yeah.
especially
yeah.
in manic,
yeah.
because of what you're so like hyped up and
yeah.
oftentimes so like optimistic, like overly optimistic. So people just are like, oh, she's just really happy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, talking to Katie has really helped me. You know, we've got a lot of similarities that we didn't know about.
It's true.
That's
yeah,
very cool.
You know, the first conversation that I had with you guys, I was immediately drawn to both of you. I think you both have a lot of really amazing qualities that, you know, make it easy to, you know, be friendly with you and make it easy to connect with you. So, you know, I think it's fantastic that you guys have started this whole, you know, project, because
thank you. Yeah, I feel the same about
people.
You.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, all of you. I'm gonna cry. It's so touching.
Thank you. But yeah, no, it's perfect that you guys have started this, because you just have a I don't know, it's
There's
a vibe
a,
sort
it's
of
a,
that they
a,
give off.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Yep, you guys have
a Katie Sophie vibe.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
we were really instantly drawn to each other.
Kind of weird how it happened.
Yeah, it's really weird.
have you guys always been into art and photography? You know, did you guys always have those hobbies, or were you introduced to it through a therapist?
Sophie, what about you?
No, I've never actually done any formal art therapy, but I was doing a master's in fine art. The whole time my mum was dying, actually. And
wow.
Yeah, so it was therapy for me. I just never kind of connected the two things.
Right. Yeah, you've got that one thing that you're kind of focusing all your attention on to keep you distracted from
yeah.
the other silently killing you inside.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I became really quite obsessed with my art, to be honest. Really, like, focused.
Yeah, I get that. I've been playing guitar for 30 years, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I've had days where I'll sit in my guitar room just playing and playing and playing, you know, and
yeah.
you're like, you're focused on one thing, you know. For me, it's, you know, I'm trying to learn this song or whatever, and
mm-hmm.
You know, next thing you know, you're playing it, and it's like, oh my God, this is great,
yeah.
you know. So
yeah,
when
exactly.
When you're doing art, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with,
yeah.
with Beck when she writes, you know, and she's writing. I leave her alone until she gets it done, because I know that's where the tunnel is.
Yeah, that's how
you
it
know.
Works, definitely.
What about you, Katie?
Yeah, I've always had sort of like, I guess you could say like a knack for artistic stuff of like all kind. And my family is super artistic and super musical and whatnot. But I never did art therapy until just this year, like in the hospital. And that's why I was like, oh, this is actually cool. It's like a reason to do art.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I have, I'm not going to say talent, but like a little bit of a knack for art.
She does.
And but I never really do it unless I have a reason. And then in the hospital, they're like, here, come paint these little things. And I was like, actually, do you have a piece of paper? I'll just paint something on my own. Because, you know, I don't know if you know, but when you're in the hospital, you've got loads of time
to kill.
So yeah, I guess it's just an opportunity, I guess, to create, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If you can hang on with us for just a few minutes here, we are going to cut to a brief commercial, and mm-hmm. then we will come back with our guests. So hang up for just a moment.
Don't miss the Mental Health Memoir of the Year, It's Not Your Journey. It's Not Your Journey is the true story of one woman's 20-year battle with mental illness and her recovery from a suicide attempt in 2013. Rebecca Lombardo candidly reveals her real and raw emotions in dealing with depression, bipolar disorder, the loss of her mother and brother, and more. Pick it up today on Amazon.com or visit www.RebeccaLombardo.com for more information.
Hey, welcome back. Thanks for taking the moment there to listen to our commercial break. So, ladies, are you with us?
Yep. Yeah, still here.
Okay, fantastic.
Yay.
Woohoo!
Didn't bat on you.
So, now, just to be clear, so everyone is aware, this is from me personally. This is our first show on the Left of Straight Network. It's, you know, the first time that we're doing this, and we're doing it live. So, you know, if it sounds a little wonky in some places, you know,
it's probably my fault.
we apologize. We're still trying to get our footing on the live version of the show, but we hope that we're doing okay and that you guys are still with us. On to the next question, though. Where did the idea for the website and the subsequent hashtags that are so popular now come from?
This one's for Katie to start, I'd say.
Yeah. Okay. The idea came from who knows where. From some reaches of the bipolar brain. No, I was coming off of a manic episode this last fall, and Sophie will attest to this. When I approached her with the idea, I was still pretty manic.
Yeah.
I found Sophie so randomly. It was like, I don't even know, because when you're on Twitter, there's so many people.
Mm-hmm. What did you say? I said, I don't know how you did it.
I don't know how we found each other, but, you know, yeah. I just was on Twitter. And
I was wondering how you guys found each other, to be honest with you.
I know it's random because she's in the UK and I'm over here, and yeah. Like, we don't even know each other in person. But anyway, yeah, I saw her and on her profile, it says like she's an artist, and you see her cool profile picture and her website and everything. And anyway, and I was like, oh, she's artistic. And then I just like messaged her and I was like, hey, do you want to work on a project with me, like a collaboration? Right, Sophie?
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? I mean this is just manic episode talking, but I didn't even know what the project was going to be when I I was like, hey, we should collaborate on something, and then popped the idea, and I was like, let's do this. And yeah, created a website in a matter of like 3 days, right, Sophie?
Yeah. And the thing is, I was totally on board as well because I'd also been quite hyped up for the whole summer. So I was like, yes, this is amazing. Like, it's destiny. I was like, wow, this is my fate.
It's that intuitive thing that you get when you're manic.
Stranger. Yeah.
I can do anything.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Totally. Oh,
that's awesome. Hey,
Sophie, you should tell your side.
Yeah.
Of
course, actually, I think we'd been doing it for maybe 1 week, or well, we'd come up with the ideas together after Katie had actually discovered what you know, MH art therapy was like going to be, and we kind of we bounced the ideas back off each other. And I think we'd been doing it for about a week or 2 weeks when we got bipolar photos into it as well.
Yeah.
So that's Ty.
Ty McMurray.
Yeah. And Ty was just totally awesome as well, and he also went, yeah, okay, this is amazing.
And neither of us had met him either. Katie found him too. So that was just like really incredible, you know. So, and the three of us just completely clicked. We just got each other instantly.
So true.
Yeah.
It was really uncanny. It was like, who's this random guy? He looks really talented. Let's just see if he wants to do the project with us.
Yeah.
We did. And I was like, he'll probably say no, but he was totally like, yeah, sure. What can I help with? And
yeah.
So we formulated the whole project together.
Yeah. Now, that was really surprised,
awesome.
But he is really amazing. And we needed him actually to be the
oh
third
my gosh.
Wheel
yeah.
in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did that for.
So good for us.
Yeah. How long did we do it for with him before we added some other people?
I want to say a couple of weeks, but I'm not totally sure.
I think a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. It was just the three of us bouncing ideas and sort of working out the kinks before we, like, went live, as you said, with with the actual themes and everything. And then we added a couple of other collaborators.
That would be Erica and Emma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who are both amazing.
Yeah,
we're gonna dive into your whole team a little bit later here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we're jumping ahead. We're too excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too excited about our friends. Yeah.
We think they're so cool. We're like, we'll tell you now.
Okay, back away from the sugar. It's okay.
Yeah. Down the cup of coffee.
Gonna be all right. What is your guys' goal for the site? What do you hope people will take away from their shared experiences?
I think what my goal is, at least, is that people have a chance to express themselves, especially if they feel themselves even mildly creative, that, you know, they'll say, okay, I can create something, but not only that, like, I'm willing to share it with the world. Because I think, I mean, and you guys are on the same boat of wanting to end the stigma surrounding mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what comes with mental illness a lot of time is creativity. Even though there's so many negative and difficult things about mental illness, you know, there's that rush of creativity that we get every so often. I think you can probably relate being
right.
a writer, Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and so to share that with people and say, look, I'm like, we're contributing something beautiful to the world, you know, even in spite of our challenges, I guess. That'd be one of my purposes. And
absolutely.
That's okay to add.
No, I agree. That's absolutely it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is documented evidence that those of us with mental illnesses are at times more creative than those normal folks out there.
Normal, what is that?
Yeah, do we know these people?
Yeah, they're boring.
No,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You're one of those normal people.
Well, that's debatable.
No,
that's
truly
absolutely
normal.
Debatable.
No, but yes, I agree with you, and I think what you're doing is amazing because it's sort of it presents the perspective that, yes, okay, we do have a mental illness, but that's not all there is to us.
Yeah.
You know, we don't every single day focus on depression or anxiety or whatever the symptoms are, that, you know, we can produce something and be productive members of society.
And produce something beautiful.
Right,
and
regardless of, of what battle we're fighting inside our brain at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody has a voice, and that's one thing that I think is really beautiful and amazing about your guy. Your keep saying your guys, and that's bad. the beautiful thing about your website and about your whole project is it gives people a voice, even people that maybe they feel like they don't necessarily have a talent, but they say, hey, you know what, I can even contribute something to this. And
exactly.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I see it with stuff that I do. I see it with stuff that Beck does, where she'll write something and she'll have doubts about it and she'll give it to me to read and it'll be absolutely amazing. You know, and then I'll tell her that and let her know, you know, and it kind of reinforces for her. And so even when, you know, someone creates something, be it artwork or, you know, written word or music, whatever, You know, you're getting that positive feedback, and you know, putting your little bit of you out into the world and contributing. And it's mm-hmm. just, it's a good feeling to know that I can put this out and it's accepted and people like it. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. There's that support and feedback is so huge.
Definitely.
Yes.
I think that's one thing about MH art therapy that I think has been the most striking that I didn't expect was the support that people have for each other when they post on there. And the community that's created because of it, even outside of the art, because like Sophie will attest to, we talk to each other about the randomest things together on Twitter and support each other in a way I didn't even know was going to happen. It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And that's not just us and our little group. It's all of these other people we've gathered along the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're trying to calm down, you see.
Yeah, I picked up on that. No, it is. That's one thing that I've noticed with the mental health community in general is it's so inclusive, you know, so welcoming, you know. There's, you know, no judgment, you know, the ones that do judge are quickly told, hey, don't do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you can come into it and there's a feeling of community, you know, and, you know, I see it with everybody that talks to on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, other social media and, you know, obviously you see it with your project and, you know, it's awesome that there are venues like MH Art Therapy that, you know, just welcome in everybody, you know.
Yeah, we were very particular about that. We wanted to be as inclusive as possible. So all skill sets and actually we didn't mind if people had diagnosed mental health conditions or not. Anyone that felt that it would help them.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And we wanted there to be sort of a positive vibe to the whole project, too. Mm-hmm. That was something that Ty pointed out very early.
Yeah.
Let's make sure that this is positive. While some of the themes do focus on things that are more difficult, like challenges and insomnia and, you know, and anger and things, because we do need to express ourselves during difficult times, but then always have, like, an altering theme, you know, that brings hope and sort of, you know, support and that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you guys more. We're going to take another quick break. We're going to play a song by Tara Naomi called Help You Fly. So give us a few moments to get that going, and we'll be back with you guys.
Know how misery loves her company. Got a party gathered around you now. They come running from far and wide, but who's gonna help you fly? And they come calling when you're falling down. Someone always pick you up off the ground. Oh, nobody wanna see you cry, but who's gonna help you fly? Whoa, 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 who's gonna help you fly? Well, the city that I live in feels smaller every day. It's like a little town. People always gonna help you get by, but who's gonna help you fly? It's a messed up situation when I got the word to call on when the well runs dry. But I just wanna celebrate my life. Wanna find someone to help me fly. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
Welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. We are so glad to have you here this morning. We hope that wherever you are at, that you are keeping warm, because I know it is cold here in Michigan.
When I looked before the show started, it was 10 degrees Fahrenheit outside.
Yes, and unfortunately, our upstairs of our house does not get a lot of heat. So,
welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0.
Ah, hang on.
So, sorry about that little live glitch.
That's my fault. That's my fault.
I love it. We just wanted to hear ourselves.
Yeah, really. Anyway, so we don't get a lot of heat in the upstairs part of our house, so we're just a little bit chilly today. Both of us all huddled up trying to talk on the same microphone. So.
Yep.
But let us get right back into the interview. As far as hashtag MH Art Photography, and let me clarify again for anyone that's not aware, that is mental health art photography, but they use for the hashtag, it's just MH. So if you want to get involved with this project, remember MH Art Therapy and MH Art Photography are the hashtags you want to use. So the photography angle is actually a little bit different from the website. Isn't that mostly on Instagram?
Yeah. Shall I do this bit, Katie?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. This is your baby.
Yeah. Okay. So I can tell you a bit about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please
so
do.
MH Art Photography was an idea that Kai and I had, actually. We were so inspired by Katie, who really is outright awesome. So,
oh gosh.
We'd been having these like photo exchanges. So I was traveling around on the bus or the train, and like we were chatting to each other. And so I'd sent him a picture, and I was walking along the South Bank, which is in London here. And then Ty sent me something back from Texas. And it was just amazing, because I thought, wow, this is so cool. We've got all this stuff in common, but our worlds are just totally different. And so we decided to get Katie and the others involved. And the idea is that you can take any photo of anything, like once a day, but not necessarily once a day, that is something that feels kind of beautiful or interesting. And it's just like a little snippet of your life. And so we're sharing all of those. And it's making us focus kind of on the present, but also appreciating outside of ourselves. So we're quite happy with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have myself just recently posted a photo.
Yeah.
I was trying to go along with your theme. Joe had mentioned this last night that we may want to ask you this, and I wasn't sure if you guys would have an actual answer to this question, but you know, you're doing themes by week. Is that correct?
Yes. For MH Art Therapy, but for MH Art Photography, there is no theme. The theme is your life.
Oh, okay. All right. That's a good way to
whatever your surroundings are.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
So as far as the themes, is that just sort of off the top of your head, or do you have a sort of set schedule that you do, or how do the themes work?
Yeah, we have had a schedule, and Katie has got an amazing bit of spreadsheet action going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have it planned out like a couple months in advance, although we need to get together on another conference call.
Yeah.
Come up with other secrets.
So we're running out, don't tell anyone.
Don't share our secrets. Yeah, we get together, we talk, and in a video conference call, and then we collaborate and say, what would be a good theme for this time of year? Maybe we can connect it with like whatever's going on during that month, and then we lay it all out a couple months in advance.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, just to let you guys know, I do have a message from Scott. Scott and I communicate via Facebook Messenger silently over here in the corner on my phone. because our microphone does kind of pick everything up, as you have witnessed this morning.
That's the good and the bad of it. It's,
yeah.
It's an awesome microphone, and we're able to be in the same room, which was an issue previously. And
yes, previous to this on our old show, I was in our bedroom. Joe was downstairs in our office because we couldn't be in the same spot doing the show.
How lonely.
At the same time.
It was kind of difficult, and we would talk over each other a lot. And, you know, so now that we've got this and we can actually both be in here at the same time, it's rather nice. I'm enjoying being next to the love of my life.
I love you. It's a great mic. So, but I did want to let you know that Ty is in the chat room, and he says hi to both of you.
Yay, hi,
and,
Ty.
And that they, that you are two of the most vibrant women he has ever met.
Oh, that's sweet.
Thank you, Ty. Yeah.
Thank you, Ty.
Guys.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Big up Ty.
Part.
you guys have to share his Twitter handle with me later so I can track him down. He sounds like a good guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's awesome.
You know, the one thing that I did forget to mention was that you do have Tumblr associated with your project as well, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more for the purpose of sharing a gallery. It was the easiest thing that we could come up with to put on the website, a gallery that would show all the photos together. And so that's the main purpose of the Tumblr, is to gather all of the art.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if anyone out there is on Tumblr, just know that you'll be able to see everything that they post through that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not just us. It's all of the people whose work we're collecting.
Yeah. Everybody posts on the hashtag.
Yeah.
We feature. And there's actually a link to it from the main website. So you don't even have to go to Tumblr. You can go to the main website and click on gallery and voila.
And it gets you right there.
And that website again is www.mhartherapy.com. I hope that everyone is jotting that down so they can head over there directly after the show.
Getting there expeditiously, if you will. check that out. It's good stuff, people. I have heard, partly because we briefly talked about it a little while ago, I'm quick like that, I have heard that the two of you are not the only people responsible for the amazing work that you're doing.
That's true.
Can you guys take a moment to recognize the other members of your team and what they bring to the project?
Yes.
I mean, I know we talked about Ty, but...
Yes.
You
know. Yes,
I tell you, you can do Erica, I'll do Emma.
Yay!
Yes.
We can still talk a little bit more about Ty. He's not exempt now. We can
yes.
We can still talk about Ty.
Right.
The door
we
is open.
We have five members. And so there's Sophie and I, and then Ty McMurray. And we've talked about him. He's a photographer, amazing photographer.
Yep.
And then there's Erica Riva. Am I pronouncing that right? Tell me, Erica.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And she has dissociative identity disorder and is incredible. And a lot of people, I think, in the mental health community already know about her because she posts her artwork and everything from her different parts. And posts just incredible works of art. And she was posting on the hashtag when we first started the project. And we were just blown away, like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And also that she was so active in posting. And we're like, let's ask her if she wants to be a part of the project.
Yeah.
We need her.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We're like, Erica, definitely. I mean, we didn't even question that, did we?
No, there wasn't a question at all. It was just a question of whether she wanted to participate.
Yeah. But we just kind of assumed she would, like, Ty.
Hopefully. Like, oh, yeah, of course.
Because we were all a bit manic still.
Oh, totally. And then Sophie has a friend.
Throw my two cents in there. Erica, I know she's listening today because she was posting for us as well.
Yeah.
And I can't say enough about her. I absolutely adore her. I think she's amazing. And you know, she read my book. She's been a big advocate for me and my book and everything that I've been posting. So I just want to, you know, return the favor for her. And she's just a fantastic, amazing girl. And I'm so glad that she's involved with your program. You guys are really lucky to have her.
We are.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Not to say that your other two compadres are not fantastic. I just don't know them personally. So
yeah,
I'm going to let you guys take over from there.
Okay. So Emma, this is quite interesting, actually, because Emma's the only person who came in from the group as somebody that we already knew. Actually, the other guys didn't. I did. Emma is a friend of mine. We had not seen each other for a long time, and then fate brought us back together again because we'd both been unwell and lots of stuff had happened. And each other again, and we both started to get involved in Twitter at the same time. And she has a blog, which I can share with you guys later. And so she's my real-life friend, and that adds another dimension. And she writes about borderline personality disorder, depression, and anxiety, which are things that she is dealing with. And so she brings a completely different perspective because the three of us are more similar in the other ways. We get manic, we get like that. And so Emma comes and she brings her side.
She balances out.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we've got three of us with bipolar disorder, and then we've got Erica and Emma who've got their own.
They kind of have their thing going.
Their thing going,
you know.
Up a bit.
Yeah.
What's wrong with creativity?
We all do. It's so true.
We all have a lot going on over here. So it's kind of an inside joke between Beck and I.
Yeah.
We
don't have time to tell
the
story.
We don't have time to tell a story. We'll have to tell it another time.
We'll have to tell the story another time.
We got a lot going on.
It's silly anyway. It'd probably be one of those things where, you know, it would just be funny to us and you kind of would have had to be there for
inside joke.
Yeah.
So what are your plans for the future? What are your hopes for the project?
Well, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, I think, Sophie.
Yeah.
Everybody's planning on it. We'll keep the website up. We'll keep the Tumblr up. We'll keep the Twitter hashtag. And everything, and just build the community is our hope, and have more people get involved and everything.
Another plug for us, actually, but it's not related to this, but Emma and I, and Erica, in fact, started up one other hashtag that is just for this month, which I just remembered that. It's called Mask Off January, and this is about being more open and honest about mental health conversations and how are you really doing. It's okay to come and tell other people and to share. So that's the other thing that we've just started doing.
Okay, let me clarify. That's Mask Off January?
Yeah. And
okay.
Actually, Emma and I wrote a blog on that, which is on the Time to Change website, which is a UK organization about ending stigma surrounding mental health. So you should be able to find that, I think, via my profile. It's been shared quite a lot this week.
Yeah, I actually saw that hashtag pop up during the course of the week.
Yeah.
Elsewhere. Not related to you guys, in fact.
Oh, cool.
That's interesting.
Working.
It absolutely is working. I was just kind of goofing around on Twitter and looking at different stuff and stumbled across it. Someone had it posted. And so, I clicked on it. I was looking at it a little bit. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. You know, that's really brilliant because, you know, it's hard to always put out there that, you know, you're dealing with a mental illness, and a lot of the times, you know, you do end up masking it, and you put on a brave face, and people don't know that you're, you know, secretly falling apart inside. So, being able to portray that is, you know, really, really just, it's a great thing. Just That's all. Pardon me, I'm just stumbling over my words over here. Thank you.
I think there's just more proof that the mental health community on Twitter is so amazing because it is a space where people are a little more open. I mean, still mm-hmm. we put on masks on Twitter too, but this is a chance to like take it off and I love the mental health community on Twitter. It's just amazing. We've already talked about that.
But. Yeah, I mean, me too. And again, I'm going to get Katie all embarrassed, but if it wasn't Katie, then I would not be here doing all of this and talking to you guys.
If it wasn't for my manic episode, none of us would be here.
Yeah. If it wasn't your manic episode and my manic enthusiasm right back at you, we wouldn't be right here.
I love it. Oh my gosh, I love it.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, I often speak, if I'm doing an interview or writing a blog post for, you know, another blogger or what have you, that I often speak of the mental health community on Twitter. You know, if it weren't for, you know, stigma fighters and, you know, Depression Army and the mm-hmm. I'm not ashamed team, I don't know that I would have been able to go as far as I've gone with my story. I might have given up.
Because
it's hard to put yourself out there, and when you finally do, it's very, very scary, and to get mm-hmm. immediate support like that is just amazing. So if any of those folks are listening, the Sick Not Weak folks over in Canada too, they are great. So if anybody is listening, you know, we're just really glad to have been connected to you guys.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. We're grateful to absolutely everyone in this community. It's really awesome.
Really, really quick, because we're going to have to wrap up pretty soon, but let's quickly go over all the ways people can participate in the project,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you can tell us whether you have any submission guidelines.
No guidelines.
No, we don't.
Yeah, there's no. I mean, even you don't even have to follow the theme necessarily when you post your art. You can follow the theme. It's fun because the theme gives you a chance to sort of do art you might not do or whatever. But get involved at using the hashtag on Twitter, hashtag mm-hmm. MH Art Therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Post on there, and then. Any posts of your artwork will be featured on the Tumblr and on the website attached to the Tumblr, mhartherapy.com.
Yep.
And then mm-hmm. to post your photos of your day-to-day and just mm-hmm. your present moments, post hashtag mhartphotography. And that's on Twitter, right, Sophie? But they can post on Instagram as well?
Uh-huh. So it's on Twitter, but on Instagram it's called Mental Health Art Photography.
Yeah,
and
that's
our account. Yeah, that's our handle. So if people are listening and they want to actually do this from Instagram, we haven't had direct submissions from there before, but that would be amazing if we worked that out.
Mm-hmm. And then check out our friends' handles, because we've got Ty McMurray has his own website, The Bipolar Photographer. And then Erica mm-hmm. Riva just started a blog, which everyone needs to check out. And then Emma has her blog, which is Balloons in the Brain. Is that right?
Yep, Balloons in the Brain.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen that.
Yep, I have too.
Yeah.
I've seen the Bipolar Photographer too a lot. And I know that we follow each other, but we haven't ever had a conversation. So, Ty, I've seen your posts, buddy, and I know that you're out there. So I'll connect with you. I will connect with you on a more personal level now. But, we're just checking because we were getting a little bit of an echo earlier, so we want to make sure that everything is still going well with our producer Scott there on the other side. But so we've gone over your Instagram handle is actually mm-hmm. MH Art Photography. That's the account that they would go to post. Correct?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I'm just checking. Hang on. It's actually Mental Health Art Photography.
Oh, okay. Spelled out. Full word spelled out.
Yeah,
it's spelled out. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good to know. We need everybody to know that. So really quickly, we've got to get this wrapped up, but could each of you maybe give us an example of a film or a book or a song, something along those lines that help you through a dark period, give you inspiration, perk you up, any of the above?
Yeah. Do you want to go first? Okay. It's not so much perky, but a song that got me through things, and this isn't just mental health, this is about grief and loss as well, was REM's Sweetness Follows, which is all about, you know, how you can move on after a death or a loss, and it's about treating the rest of your family well and appreciating what happens afterwards. And REM in general actually were my go-to kind of songs when I was young, because they faced a lot of those themes. So that's what I do when I need some comfort.
Yeah, they've got great music.
Yeah.
That's cool.
For me, the comfort, music and movies. I have a 2-year-old daughter, so we watch a lot of kids' movies. And I love
great.
There's some really good Disney Pixar that are just really like comfort movies. Ratatouille is one of my favorites. Lately, we've been watching Wreck-It Ralph. Reset on Life. I just love those movies because, I mean, the stories that they weave are so good, but they always have, like, that comfort, like, oh, I feel like I'm a kid again.
That sounds good. You can recommend them to me. Oh, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, along those lines, last night, Joe and I watched The Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And if you haven't seen that yet, I highly recommend it. I am not a big, you know, kids movie fan. I like Aladdin and I like Minions. But as far as most of the other Disney stuff, somebody's always dying and I can't take it. So I'm so, really, really like, we check a website called Did the Dog Die?
Did the dog die.com
before we watch any movie that has a dog.
Oh,
in
that's
it.
Clever.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Because I'll lose it if they do.
Yeah.
But no, we watched The Secret Life of Pets, and it was hilarious, and it was really well done. So you could watch that with your daughter, no problem.
That's awesome.
It's adorable.
Yeah. I believe we're going to wrap things up, but
yep, we have loved having you guys here on our debut show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Can't thank you enough.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Enjoyed it so much.
Well, if you want to stick around on the phone for a little bit after our outro goes, we'll chat off air about a couple of things, and that would be awesome.
For sure.
Yeah. Stick around for just a couple more minutes, and we thank you again. We wish you all the best with your project. If there's anything that we can do to help, raise awareness even more, you know where to find me, tweet me, email me, whatever you want.
Yes.
Yep. Get a hold of me, and I will do my best to get the awareness up for your project. But
thank you
once again. And we're gonna sign off here for now, folks. We will catch you next week, Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and we can't wait. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
Join us next week as Rebecca and Joe continue to battle the stigma of mental illness. Follow us on Twitter at Voices for Change RJ and on Facebook at Voices for Change 2.0.
I feel like that's the way Portland is, you know, I start getting adjusted to it. But in Wichita, we start feeling real comfortable after 3 years. You probably feel comfortable anywhere, you know, because you adjust to it. But I think what I
in the early evening. Steve was talking to me, cigarettes in the street, sandals hanging on feet. We were speaking our thoughts, thinking of Alan Watts, in some old parking lots, through a ball that he caught. If I bounce this ball off the ground, will it come back to me? If I make you smile with my words, would you do that for me? You see, I feel like a fool when I dream in the lonely twilight. If I bounce this ball off the ground, will it come back all right? It's anything. All I want to do is sing. I tell everyone around here, and they laugh and call me queer. If I bow fall off the ground, will it come back to me? If I make you smile with my words, would you do that for me? You see, I feel like a fool when I dream in the lonely twilight. If I bounce this ball off the ground, will it come back all right?
So let's do that first. There we go. How do you guys do your podcast? Do you do it live off a certain system, or how do you guys set it up?
Yeah, I do. I just record on my phone. I have a little mic attachment to enhance the audio a little bit. And we do record kind of basic, pretty nothing much to it. And then I just put it through a movie editing software, just the audio part of that editing, mix it down, and then I put it up on iTunes like you guys do, and then YouTube as well. So there's not much to it. It's pretty
nice.
Basic. We're not doing quite what you guys are doing. Feels more like an insider, like little B-side of Third Class podcast.
Right. No, I love it. Yeah, I love it.
But I like that you guys are more like all inclusive and have like more like, like you said, like C-level celebrity, like fun things like that too.
All right. Well, here we go.
Okay.
And we are back. That was First Class with It Being and a Ball. Guys, if you're music fans, I really hope you've had the pleasure of catching our next guest band. Third Class is based locally here in the Mahoning Valley, but the group's traveled extensively in 2015. They spent most of last year at home, but with their newest release, Virginia's Playlist, the group is looking forward to getting back on the road a bit in 2017. Please welcome to the show one-third of Third Class, Lee Boyle. Welcome, Lee. How you doing?
Good, Scott. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, man. This is our debut episode of Rust Belts and Rainbows here, kind of trying to get some great entertainment for the LGBT community and our allies here, everywhere from Pittsburgh to Cleveland. You guys really wrap that up. So I appreciate you being on, man.
Of course, man. I'm really excited to be on this particular show because I've become a fan of sorts. I appreciate what you guys do. And I think it's a sweet thing, especially for Ohio, for a show like this to be around.
Thanks. We've introduced your music, and I want to talk about that first. But your band and your buddies, you guys have your own entertainment company. You have a comedy troupe. You have videos. You have a podcast. So much more. But let's go ahead and start with the band. Now, Third Class is a trio. It's made up of you, your brother Jack Boyle, and Pepe Parrish. Tell me about when the three of you met and how you decided to start making music. It's been like 17 years, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I met Pepe in 1996 in sixth or seventh grade. My brother Jack is my blood brother, but we all feel like brothers because Pepe ended up living with us. And we kind of were raised by my mom. My dad passed away in the early 90s in 93. And so we were all raised by our mom, and we became friends with a lot of, like, I guess you would call misfits of East Palestine, Ohio, small town near the PA border in Northeast Ohio. And so
right.
Misfits, for whatever reason, maybe they're misfits because they were gay, maybe they're misfits because they were creative, maybe they were misfits because they kind of were missing a family or they didn't know where they belonged just because of their personality. And for whatever reason, yeah, we kind of drew the energy of that into creating a band. We wanted to start a band because we just were creative people who needed an outlet in a small town.
Very cool. Now, go ahead and how do you describe your music? I love how you have the ones like sloppy pop, quirky pop, wonky beats, and funky tunes. Describe describe your sound. What kind of inspires you?
Yeah, well, we sound a little bit like the 90s acts Stenfolds Five or the Presidents of the United States of America, in that we kind of have a garagey type take on recording. Our recordings are relatively sloppy and very humanized in that they sound like these one-of-a-kind takes. We don't use metronomes. We don't use anything to kind of – we don't usually use much to kind of beef the song up when it comes to, like, you know, smoothing it out, the production. We use really great studios that know exactly what they're doing and are totally professional, but we use these
right.
studios because we want to clarify our sloppy sound. So, yeah, what inspires us is – stuff that sounds genuine.
Very cool. You guys have put out quite a few albums by now. Like I said, we started in 1999. I think my first compilation of yours was probably The Red Wheelbarrow. How often are you guys writing songs, and when do you feel it's time to put out a new one? It's been like 2 years since Hymns of Some Small Town. Kind of a pretty normal time for most bands. Do you feel pressure to put out new music? Are you always writing?
We usually try to curb the releases because of economical reasons and financial reasons, but these songs had been waiting around for a while, and they seem to just come out. Kind of sounds cliche to act like an artist whose art just kind of spills out onto the page without any effort. There was plenty of work put in, but we couldn't help it. This album had to come out. These songs had been kind of sitting there and manifesting for over 20 years since before the band formed, and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, seemed ready to go. So we just felt like we needed to put it out. We write a lot. All three of us are just people that tend to write poetry, write songs, or at least write skits, write videos. You know, we can't stop for whatever reason. Part of that is just that small town, we got nothing else to do thing that has prevailed.
That's awesome. Now, your new album has 20 songs on it, which I love. I also love where you got the name from. Tell everyone the story about where you came from and kind of what made you take all this music and be able to put it together. I mean, that's a long thing. Most people would break it down and make everyone buy two albums. You guys are not marketing geniuses, but you're great to your fans. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we called it a playlist to try to speak to the attention span, no doubt. this album does work. If fans are listening, I'll plug real quick. Thirdclass.net is our website. And you can go there and get the album streaming on Spotify, streaming on Apple Music, download on iTunes, Bandcamp. You can order a compact disc, et cetera. We got all kinds of options. We got the vinyl on its way for February or March.
So
try to cater to our fans' attention spans and fans to be, in that you're allowed to skip through this album and pick and choose until you end up with the whole album being digested. And so the name came from my brother Jack, who's in the band, was in Seattle, Washington, hanging out with some friends after working at a summer camp. And he looked at an iPod that said Virginia's Playlist. It was his friend's mom's playlist. And he was like, that just sounds pretty. It might not mean a whole lot otherwise, but it sounded like the perfect fit for an album name. And then it just happened to be Double Mileage, in that this is 20 songs. Skip around, make it a playlist. Put it on shuffle,
right?
Even. I encourage fans, put it on shuffle. See what you think. It actually works that way. It doesn't really matter what order the songs are in that much, surprisingly.
Well, one of the things I love, too, is how you describe the lyrics as kind of unfinished business, and you were going for a feel as if someone just found an old journey or diary and can kind of skip around like that. Talk about that idea. I love that idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of it was like, if fans are familiar with 2014's Hymns from Some Small Town, our last record, we kind of dug into some family stuff. You know, we've always written about childhood, but we kind of dug in deeper to like personal diaries of sorts in our minds of family. And so we felt like we had to explore more of that when the slower, prettier love songs or like nostalgic songs on Hymns from Some Small Town seem to capture fans' imaginations. We thought, okay, these other slow songs we have on the shelf and lots of new ones that we wrote after have a place now. So we wanted to write about like family and about life as like kind of voyeuristic poets in Ohio, because it's a beautiful state. It's a beautiful state to travel out of and miss and come back to. A lot of people do that. People are always moving to New York from Ohio, moving to the West Coast, moving to Florida, and then they come back once in a while and they kind of miss it. So we wanted to write about that. We used old recordings from the early 1980s of my parents when they were my age. We used poetry that we kind of twisted our friends' arms into reading for us. And all this stuff kind of equates to songs about young love, songs about being in a family in a small town, and songs about just following someone through just growing up.
Amazing. I love that. Let's go ahead and kind of take a quick break and give the listeners a sampling of that. A song I really like, because I did live in Portland, was grow up in Portland, and it kind of starts with that, I think, the tapes you were talking about. So let's let everyone listen in on Grow Up in Portland. And we're talking right now to Lee Boyle of Third Class. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Awesome.
I feel like that's the way Portland is. You know, you start getting adjusted to it. But in Wichita, we start feeling real comfortable. After 3 years, you probably feel comfortable anywhere, you know, because you adjust to it. But I think what I was going to say about Portland is that, you know,
driving.
It's important to go down south.
are back. That is Grow Up in Portland by our special guest today, Lee Boyle of First Class. I love this album. It's so cool. I love like the concept that you've done using the old sounds and your new music. Tell me a little bit about, you have like a British philosopher that makes his way out into the album a few times. Describe what brought that about. I thought that was kind of a cool story.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for saying that, first of all. But, yeah, secondly, you know, Alan Watts, philosopher who once in a while, the stuff I got from him mostly when I've, like, kind of listened to his audio speeches, he was kind of one of those guys that traveled around, taught a lot, gave speeches. They were kind of, like, deeper versions of, like, motivational speaker-type stuff. And he often, what I got out of him was emphasizing the comfort and meaninglessness. Now, I'm not trying to get super deep and ridiculous on this show, but he kind of would make you feel like if things do in fact not have as much meaning as we tag onto them in the world, isn't that a relief? Isn't it a relief to know that maybe if there was a time that you humiliated yourself or things weren't going that well, that in the grander scheme of things, it wasn't such a big deal? And he kind of spun it that way. And I always loved that. And so my dad liked his philosophy when he was younger, and him and a friend took a road trip towards California to try to meet Alan Watts on a houseboat. They didn't meet him.
Cool.
He was not. Yeah, but it was a romantic road trip of sorts. My brother Jack has written a lot about it. I wrote songs about it and stuff like that. And so to try to parallel, Virginia's Playlist is a romantic road trip of sorts across the U.S. Yeah, just trying to find philosophy, whether it be Alan Watts or otherwise, just answers to things and maybe trying to feel better through those answers.
Nice. Let's hope that philosophy kind of holds us through the next 4 years, even though I'm still in depression. So I'll take any inspiration I can get, my friend. I'm telling you. Now, that song was Grown Up in Portland. You said your brother visited the Northwest. Did you guys ever live there at all, or how do you guys know the Northwest area?
Yeah, we lived there. We lived for me and my wife and my two younger brothers. We also have another brother who's like almost like the fourth member of Third Class named Steve Boyle. He's the youngest. We all worked out at a camp in Seattle for about 9 weeks in the summer, so we drew a lot of inspiration writing about the Pacific Northwest. Jack and Steve have definitely returned more. Steve is just like a total camp person. He's worked at so many camps, so he's kind of been our like muse as far as like inspiring us and bringing us to like new places and fun things like that. He's definitely a traveler, and this album definitely has to do with him and other family as well. We were inspired by Portland. I was born there. My family, my mom and dad were out there at the time. They were just from Ohio, kind of transplanted to do academic things and stuff like that. So I have a connection with the Pacific Northwest that I have been exploring.
Gotcha. I lived in Portland for 4 years. Absolutely loved it. Probably the best
laid-out
city I've ever lived in, and the music scene is amazing.
Oh, I'm sure, man. I played a show there in support of the last album, and it was just this tiny little whatever show, and it still felt so much fun, so fun to like just interact with people, and like there were, it seemed like the people who were at the show were from like all over the place anyhow, and it was just great. So I'm
exactly
glad I had a good time living there, because I'm sure
yeah, it was
anyone
awesome
would. Yeah.
What are songs that you're really hoping people get on this album? What's some of your, I mean, there's so many great songs there, but what are kind of your babies that you really hope people, if they had to listen just a couple songs in there, what's on your playlist?
Well, I carry a flame for Witch Hunt, which is the second to last track, because I have a self-consciousness about, as the years have gone, the band has become more and more centered around my own solo type of material, and like there is no such way of me trying to purposefully box out the other two members, but we have kind of become akin to bands like a modern folk type band, the Mountain Goats, or stuff like that, where like I'm kind of like the primary member, and I play a lot of solo shows aside from the full band shows now, and it seems because we write so many like softer, slower, percussionless songs. So Witch Hunt, I kind of think personally, it's about my dad, and it's about like playing shows and stuff, and I feel like if that song can stand, that's like the biggest test of like, just, is it okay to do like a folksy type thing with Third Class? So if that song gets reacted to positively by fans, I feel like then that makes the whole record for me. Like, he might not be my favorite song on the record, but it's kind of the little like test run of to see if you'll accept the record into your heart as like
right.
another record of Third Class. And then secondly, maybe the last song, Sweet Potato, the very last song, because it's kind of a dedication to my mom, who lost her mom a couple years back. And there's a little recording of her talking about her parents. So those ones really mean a lot because they kind of dig their heels in deeper to the kind of family thing.
I love that. Yeah, that's why I started my podcast back a year and a half ago. I quit my job to caretake for my dad. He's had heart illnesses for a long time and disability, retired when he was 47 years old, and thank goodness made it to a ripe old age of 77. But I quit my job to move here to take care of him, and really needed something to do to occupy my time while taking care of him. So I started this podcasting gig, and it's been a life. So I can understand how music would be that kind of, when you have your kind of talent, would have that to kind of be able to explore how those things affect you. Because that's what I use my podcast for a bit as well.
That yeah, man. I mean, that's a heartbreaking thing to have a family member go through that. But I'm sure that it was. You sounds like you definitely were a sweetheart to give that kind of care and give up certain aspects of your life for it. But I'm sure you also got some certain rewarding experience out of that time spent with a family member. And yeah, you know, that's an Ohio thing for sure, man. We are definitely a family oriented state.
is very, very true.
Yeah.
Well, we were very lucky to have you guys play a lot this past weekend. We had the New Year's weekend and you were local here in Youngstown area. Talk to me about what kind of venues do you really like? Is there venues that you prefer to go to? And you said you're going to maybe open up touring a little more in 2017. Do you have any venues around the state, somewhere between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, you like to go to?
Yeah, we prefer Cedars. It has moved location since 2013. We like the new location a lot. It's more of a destination venue than a downtown straggler venue, but we love it. Pete is amazing. He produced most of our albums. We have used Historian Recording for this album, but he had usually been the guy behind the wheel for our previous stuff. And he's a genius type dude with the sound, so we love that. And we usually get an okay crowd there. And then we like coffee shop shows now as we get older. We like the early shows that end early, and we like the shows we can play acoustic and play quietly as we get older. We're still young guys, but, you know, as we go. And, touring. Yeah, we're 2017. I'll probably play a lot of solo dates around Ohio, PA, maybe in Indiana here or there. Staying close just because this album seems to be more of an Ohio thing than usual. In the past, we've toured out to like Maine, New York, some Seattle, some Tennessee, some Kentucky and stuff like that, and Connecticut, all over the place. But this feels like I should stay in close quarters. I don't know why. It just feels like I can actually play some of those venues that we were scared people would not like us at now as we go. It's weird.
Right.
You start to like just be like okay with maybe being a little bit of a country bumpkin of sorts and stuff. And I don't mean to insult anybody who's like a local who's more into traditional values than I am, but we just like, I don't know, we're kind of accepting our Ohio roots through these last couple albums, and now all of a sudden little wineries and little coffee shops and places that maybe we were a little too raucous for before have opened their doors, and it feels good.
Right.
It feels good to kind of mellow out.
There you go. Love that. Well, let's go ahead and just briefly jump in. I mean, you guys really are like a family. Like you said, you have your two younger brothers pop in there. You got Pepe in there. And you guys have done some branch out some fun things. You have your own podcast. I love that, called the Nursery Podcast. You got your Bullskit Productions. It does some really cool little comedy videos and bits. How did that kind of – was that just a natural progression for the music, or how did those come about?
The video thing was kind of me and my friend Pepe's first and foremost thing. Me and him and my brothers would and other friends would end up making skits and stuff with our old video camera and stuff like that. And we would just really get into it. And the music videos and stuff for Virginia's playlist material like draw heavily on either old free domain footage of other artists, or like they try to draw on autobiographical footage or footage that's shot in a nostalgic way. And then, yeah, the skits, we just act like such little kids, immature, inappropriate jokes. So to us, yeah, those always shared the same backyard. Video, podcasts, music, they always were very much a communal effort. And as we go, that stuff, the lines blur. A lot of Bull Skit Productions members are on the Virginia's Playlist album and stuff like that. And if anyone's interested in Nursery Podcast or Bull Skit, the two websites are thirdclass.net and bullskit.com. You can check out all the weird little Ohioans acting immature on music or podcast or skits. And it's all kind of like that little kid that walked around with a tape recorder pretending like he or she had his or her radio show. We kind of now, you know, this is the grown-up version of that, where we're just kind of screwing around with everybody we've met, including yourself, you know, people that we meet through other people, whether it's a coffee place or at a show or whatever, and trying to include them in the process.
Very, very cool. Well, Lee, thank you so much for being on our debut episode here. Guys, you have to go out and get this new album, Virginia's Playlist. And if you haven't gone through the old ones, do yourself a favor. I mean, it's one of the things for this podcast is to talk about local flavor, and we really need to support our local artists. So don't listen to them on YouTube only. Go ahead and buy the albums. Go to their website. Do me a favor, Lee. Tell us all your websites again and your social media. You guys have some kind of fun things on Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah. For Twitter and Instagram, all one word, Third Class. Facebook.com/thirdclassmusic. You can just search thirdclass.net to find the links to like YouTube and stuff like that. Check out our show list. We got a lot of shows coming up. And bullskit.com if you just sort of have a rainy day where you want to watch some silly Ohioan skits. Nursery Podcast is on iTunes. Check out that. And of course, Left is Straight on iTunes. And yeah, just, you know, thirdclass.net and bullskit.com are the main sites. They have all our fun little things, little projects on there that some Ohioan people might really enjoy, and anyone else for that matter.
Beautiful. Thanks again, guys. We're listening here today to the fantastic Lee Boyle from Third Class. Lee, please stay on the line for me. We're going to go ahead and play out today with a little more First Class. This is Better Mood Today. You're listening to Rust Belt and Rainbows right here on Blog Talk. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
In a better mood today.